This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. All right, fess up. Every once in a while, you toss something in the trash that you really could have recycled. Maybe you're in a rush, maybe there's no recycling bin around, or perhaps you just weren't sure and you didn't have the time to figure it out. Or maybe it's the other way around. You're not sure about those Tetra Paks that milk and juice come in, but you want to do the right thing, so you throw it into the blue bin. Or you err on the side of anything made out of plastic can be recycled. Well, you're wrong. But that's okay. Today is Recycling Amnesty Day. On Wednesday, Vermont's universal recycling law goes into effect for all of us. We'll be required to divert recyclables away from our waste stream. Composting is coming next, though not for a couple of years for most of us. The biggest waste creators are already required to do that. So we're offering you a chance to ask any of the questions you might have had about the what's, hows, where's, and why's of recycling. Think of it as the Vermont Edition gardening show, but for trash. Here to answer all of your questions are Josh Kelly with the Vermont Agency of Natural Resources and Michelle Morris with the Chittenden Solid Waste District. Great to have both of you on the program with us.
It's great to be here. Thanks
for having me.
Michelle, your hands went into the air when I said plastics. Now, I know at Chittenden Solid Waste, I go to the dump every other weekend. There are a lot of plastics I can throw into my blue bins and toss into the recycling, but not, say, for example, shopping bags that I've gotten at the grocery store. So just let's start with plastics. What can and can't I recycle?
That's exactly right. That was my head exploding that you saw. So it has been different all across the state, and part of what Act 148 is doing is it's setting the same bar for everybody, which is great. We've had it here in Chittenden County for 22 years, so what we will accept are rigid plastic packaging and product containers. So you're right, those grocery bags, any flimsy, filmy plastic, it just gets tangled up in the machinery and causes all kinds of havoc. Better option, reuse them. Or take them back to the grocery store, and they will recycle them via another separate system.
But the little numbers on the bottom of those plastic containers, 1 through 7, you accept all of those.
Well, it's the rigid plastic packaging. The numbers really were not invented for recycling. They were for the plastics industry. So it just tells you more about the history of that product and what polymer it was made from. So, like, we can't take styrofoam or, you know, polystyrene is what it's called. That's not recyclable here. And anything filmy, like I said before. So yes, technically we take the 1 through 7s, but we'd prefer people really look at what kind of packaging. And if you have a question, ask us.
All right, Josh Kelly. So before we go into the rabbit hole of all of these details, let's back up for just a moment and explain for people who maybe are just learning that there's a new law going into effect on July 1st, what exactly is required of everybody in Vermont come Wednesday?
Sure. Vermont passed in 2012 the Universal Recycling Law, Act 148, and its real intent was to, as our Secretary Markowitz said in a recent press event, to reboot recycling and reinvigorate the whole industry. So the kickoff of that is really happening this summer with the July 1 requirement that certain recyclable items need to be separated and recycled. And those are paper, cardboard, aluminum, steel, glass, and hard plastics, numbers 1 and 2. So that's what's going into effect this July 1. And in addition, last summer, transfer stations were required to collect recyclables, and this summer, haulers that collect trash are required to collect recyclables.
In other words, if you take your stuff to the dump, to your local transfer station, they've already been required to accept recyclables. Now you're required to do that sorting from trash into recyclables, and you can take them to your transfer station. If you have a hauler, they also now will have to include pickup recycling in their processes.
Correct. And the whole intent there is sort of to increase convenience. And that was a major priority of this legislation that passed. So that there's the same level of convenience across the state, so that there's consistent recycling, as Michelle mentioned, statewide.
Okay, consistency, except if I'm in Chittenden County, I can recycle rigid plastic 1 through 7. You just said throughout the state it's plastics 1 and 2. In some parts of the state, the waste stream can handle just any kind of recyclables all going in at once, and some you have to sort. So what's the standard depending on where you are?
So in What is changing? What the state is doing is saying, start with these six, in essence. And those are the ones I mentioned, the paper, the cardboard, the aluminum, steel, glass, and hard plastics, one and two. Those are sort of your simple to recycle items that are valuable for markets for the most part. The plastics, one and two, are the most valuable plastics and therefore easily recycled plastics. So that doesn't mean that you can't recycle more in your area. And I'd say, you know, every area of the state can recycle more than that. But those are the ones that the state is requiring everyone to sort of pitch in and recycle.
And if I'm in some parts of the state, do I need to sort my plastic from my cardboard?
Yeah, in some places you do. In the Northeast Kingdom, their system is source separation, so they are separating those things. But there's a benefit to that. They actually can recoup some of that revenue when they bail those materials for market. Those solid waste districts can use that revenue to offset costs. And that's offset costs to taxpayers and to their region.
All right, listeners, I promised an amnesty day. I know a lot of people have recycling questions, and there actually is some guilt around recycling. I know some people feel the guilt if they're not doing it or they're not doing it right, and that can lend itself to throwing everything in the recycling bin, even though what we're hearing from Michelle Morris is, please don't do that. Don't put that flimsy plastic in the recycling bin. We can't take it. So if you have a question about your own personal recycling situation or you want to talk composting, that's coming down the pike in a few years, personal composting requirement, now's your chance. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can post your thoughts on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. All right, let's get into some of the questions we've already gotten from listeners who are curious about this law. Some of them eager, some of them not so eager. We've got a few people who said, I'm not going to comply. So we're going to ask you about enforcement as well. But Allison in Huntington says, so recycling is really easy at home, but what do we do when we're in a public park, on the street, in a school cafeteria, or a train station? Josh Kelly, what about that?
Sure. We actually have sort of six milestones that actually go into effect July 1, and it take a while to go through them all. But the most important one to be talking about here is the recycling requirement. But for public spaces, those are sort of town, municipal-owned buildings and places, parks included, and state buildings. There's a requirement that if there's a trash can put out available, that a recycling bin be next to it, with the exception of restrooms. So that's rolling out as well.
So if I'm at a gas station from now on, from now on, I will see not just the trash can, but a recycling. Michelle, you're shaking your head no.
Right. I'm shaking my head no. As the business outreach coordinator for CSWD, we actually have that requirement kicking in next year in 2016, and that's a privately owned place. So there is some confusion. It's called public spaces, but it's really, as Josh said, publicly owned spaces.
Okay.
So it's municipal parks, public schools, that sort of thing is what we're talking about this year, July 1. And so, as Josh is saying, there are more challenges, but at least we want to make sure, the state wants to make sure that there is a recycling bin available next to every trash can. Or they can choose to just have a packet in, packet out policy and not have trash available at all. Mm-hmm. That's an option as well. But, for places in Chittenden County, we've been doing school outreach and have a person dedicated to that. So there should be a program. It's been mandatory here for a long time, and most of the population can do it. Public space events are much more challenging, however.
Why is that? You mean like a big concert?
Yeah, like the waterfront. You know, we've been working on that for a long time. And it's, you know, if you have it, that's a waterfront park is publicly owned. It's a Burlington City Parks place, and they're working really hard on getting the bins in place and having things available. But what we want the public to know is we don't want your items that have nasty goo all stuck in them.
Oh, good. Well, okay. So then this is a second question from Allison. So let me ask it. She says, you know, frequently recyclable takeout containers have a little food in them,
yep,
and there's no nearby sink available for rinsing.
Right.
How much organic matter can the recycling stream handle?
Zero.
Uh-oh.
So, you're the one.
No, but I mean, I just rinsed out my yogurt container, but you know, I can imagine people who don't have time, you think, forget it. If I can't recycle it, I'm just going to throw it in the trash.
Right. So time is one issue. People think, you know, it's what do you value? So let's back off a little bit here and say, realistically, we need it to be clean. You know, these workers at our facility are handling 180 tons of this material a day. It's a really unpleasant environment if they're getting yogurt and cottage cheese and peanut butter stuck on all this stuff. Secondly, as Josh mentioned, it's about marketing the material. So if it's all covered in nastiness, nobody wants to buy it. So it needs to be clean. Do you have to wash it in your dishwasher? Of course not. That's a waste of resources. But it needs to be free of any stuck on food or material. Bottles and cans need to be emptied. If you don't have that or you can't achieve that, you can't wipe it clean with a napkin or something, then it needs to go in the trash. We call it wishful recycling. People who think, oh, this should be recyclable, or they'll sort it out. Please don't.
Okay. All right. We've already got the calls rolling in. Our call lines are full. So listeners, if you're trying to get in, you can keep trying. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. Or go ahead and post your comments on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Maybe we can do some crowdsourcing there, too. But Phyllis is calling in from Burlington. Hi, Phyllis. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering about prescription medicine containers. I've got one here. I think it has a number on the bottom, but they're less than 2 inches in at least one or two dimensions. And I know it oftentimes says you can't recycle anything that's less than 2 inches in any dimension. So I don't know what to do with these things.
Boy, Phyllis, you've actually been doing your research. Michelle Morris, what should Phyllis do?
Phyllis, you're a rock star. You're right. You hit the nail on the head. It's not always about the material. And like we said, those numbers aren't going to tell you the whole story. But you're paying attention. Less than 2 inches in any two side directions or dimensions means it's literally going to fall between the cracks at the machinery. It's not these machines were built to handle bottles, cans, big laundry jugs and things like that. The farther you get from those container sizes and shapes, the harder the system the harder it is for the system to handle it. So those prescription bottles, unfortunately, right now are not recyclable in the system. I would encourage you to check, though, with the pharmacy. Some places may be starting take-back programs.
All right. And Ginger is on the line with us from Proctorsville. Hi, Ginger. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I make bone broth, and after each batch is done, I have 3 or 4 pounds of bones. And throughout the year, that's a lot of bones. And then I also have a cat, so we have lots of kitty litter. I wanted to know what to do with these, because I do compost and I do recycle, but I have these mystery items, and I'm never sure what to do with them.
Ginger, you get the prize for the day. We were saying every time we do a recycling show, somebody calls in about kitty litter. Clearly, this is a huge problem. All right, Michelle, this goes to you again. What should she do about bones and bone broth and kitty litter?
Yeah, so the bones, I'll tell you what I do. When I'm we compost in our yard, but you don't want to put bones and meat in that. So I put all the chicken bones and things like that in my freezer. And then when I'm going to the drop-off center or to Green Mountain Compost, I take it with me and we can compost those materials there. Now, if you don't live in Chittenden County, you may not have that as an option and it can go in the trash until 2020 when the composting law kicks in for residents. However, and actually that material can still go in the trash after that point. Sorry if I'm confusing things here, but at any rate, the bones can be composted at many compost facilities and just check locally and see where it's going. So that's an excellent option for all those bones.
Okay, so the bones can be composted at big facilities, but it is okay to put them in the trash.
That's correct.
Okay, and the kitty litter.
Kitty litter. Trash really is the best option at this point. If you live somewhere really rural and you know, you're talking very small amounts and you use 100% or natural material for your kitty litter, then you can go in the woods or something with that. But really, it's just trash. It's not something that you want to compost. There are some systems, I should say, out there. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but you know, contact us or contact your local district or alliance to see if they have recommendations, because there are some ways, methods for composting that in your yard, but it's too much to go into here.
Laura in Burke says, our town does weekly curbside trash pickup and runs a recycling center. Adding recycling pickup is very expensive, so the town will probably cancel curbside pickup. This will probably result in more trash just being thrown in the woods or burned and won't increase recycling. The new law may work in the heavily populated Burlington area, but it may have negative effects in the smaller towns. Josh Kelly, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, the town of Burke has been doing a lot of things really well for a long time. And their recycling center is an awesome resource to the community. But as Act 148 was intended to increase convenience, and I've spoken with some Burke residents about this, folks don't have curbside recycling services, and it's an extra trip to bring recyclables down to that recycling center. So they're in a transition zone right now. And whether Burke continues to haul or a private sector hauler offers hauling, the response, the need is clear that everybody need to offer parallel services. Wherever you have trash collection, you have recycling collection. And so Burke's, you know, looking at their options right now, as far as I understand it. And I hope that they can still have a recycling center in the future there, because it is a great resource. They do electronics recycling there as well through our eCycles program. But it is a bit of a change shift for them. So I remain hopeful that Burke can find a solution that really works for their residents.
To Laura's point that maybe more trash will just go out into the woods or elsewhere, or that people just won't follow the law. Laura doesn't mention that, but let's think about that too. What is the enforcement, or what are the enforcement capabilities of ANR for making sure that people are doing what they're supposed to?
Sure. That's, you know, a very common question we get. And we do have enforcement capabilities with this legislation. And it mainly talks about, you know, the responsibility being on the person who produces that material, that bottle that doesn't get recycled. But I want to, you know, calm everybody's fears and concerns about that. It's not where the agency is focused right now. And it's not where really the intent of this law is put forth. You know, our secretary characterized it really well when she said this is a reboot to recycling. So I think I want people to know that more recycling services are coming their way. And actually, even in the case of Burke, you know, if they ran their existing vehicle, a trash truck, every other week, 1 week trash, 1 week recycling, they could effectively get at these services without increasing costs and keeping things fairly the same. So it's really about convenience. It's really what the legislature was putting forward and a recommitment to recycling.
But does that mean that there really aren't any teeth in this law? I mean, if you're trying to calm people's fears, but it also suggests that I could just keep throwing whatever I feel like in the trash can, nobody's going to come at me. So how does that actually get to Vermont's goals?
I think initially, you know, the question of enforcement on residents is not likely right now. And the resources of the agency are such that it'd be very difficult to go around looking in everybody's trash cans. It's not something we're thinking of.
You might have some problems from people too if that was your goal.
Yeah, absolutely. What we're focused on is looking for the convenience to be available. So for haulers to be providing recycling services. We checked in with transfer stations last year, July 1, 2014, and they are all offering recycling services right now. And they're bundling the cost as required by state law, and we'll probably get questions about that too. The recycling services need to be bundled with the trash services, so it's one fee. And so they're doing that, and that's what we're expecting of haulers right now. There's potential for enforcement on haulers if they're not providing the services. But as there is with this law for all the different parts of it, there's potential for enforcement out there. But again, we're really focused on, at this stage in July 1, 2015, getting the message out about these six items that they're easy to recycle and that there's options out there for them.
All right. Well, Josh Kelly was just mentioning haulers and what impact this is going to have on them. And in just a moment, we're going to be speaking with a trash hauler in the Northeast Kingdom and find out a little bit more about what this law actually means for him. And listeners, if you have a question about the new rules that are set to take place on Wednesday, they require you to recycle. It is now a mandate in Vermont. You can give us a call with your questions. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post your question on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. We'll get more into composting as well, including once mandatory composting goes into effect, how are you going to prevent critters from getting at your compost if you have a hauler who comes to your doorstep? All right, so Marianne in Wilmington, stay on the line. We will answer your question. You're listening to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're talking with Josh Kelly at the Vermont Agency of Natural Resources and Michelle Morris with the Chittenden Solid Waste District. Think of them as your own personal Google searches or FAQ guides. They're answering all kinds of questions about the new rules that go into effect on Wednesday that require all of us in Vermont to recycle. It's part of a long-term plan to cut the amount of stuff we put in our now one landfill in the state. So what are your questions? Do you know whether you live in a single stream or a dual stream recycling area? Have you figured out what to do with your trash hauler? Is your trash hauler going to offer recycling now, or do you have to find a new system? And do you want to know more about composting? Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post your thoughts on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. And speaking of trash haulers, let's talk now with Pat Austin, president of Austin's Rubbish and Roll-Off Service in West Charleston in the Northeast Kingdom. Hi, Pat. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Can you just tell us what's the size of your business?
We service about 3,000 mixed residential and commercial customers, and we cover most of all of the Northeast Kingdom, basically the corner of the state that goes all the way over against New Hampshire and up against the Canadian border.
And so for you, have you had to add new tools, new trucks? What does it mean for you now to have to offer recycling as well as trash hauling?
It's been a very expensive system to set up for. We've had to purchase another truck and a lot of containers. The one of the biggest struggles we're dealing with right now is all the things you guys have been talking about. The education has been little to none from the state agencies. So the customers are really confused. And you guys touched a little bit on single stream and source separated systems in what area you might live in. You know, for a commercial hauler, the only way that they can really provide this on a level of a lot of people and a lot of businesses is in a single stream fashion. So, you know, basically everything's all mixed together. There's only two facilities in the state that accept that. One's in Chittenden County and one's in Rutland. So over the years since the waste district up here has formed since the early 90s, and they've set up, basically what happens is towns join the district, and the district will set up a facility in the town for the residents to bring the material to, and our district is run as a source-separated system. The haulers pay a tax. Right now it's just under $24 a ton to help fund them systems. So what we're dealing with now is that we're mandated by law to provide the service to our customers. We're actually competing directly with a free system that's been put in place by the district to appease the regulations of the state over the year. So what's kind of happened is that the representatives and the agency have total disregard for the fact that we had a different system in place in the Northeast Kingdom, and we have no infrastructure for commercial haulers to dispose of this material. So that leaves us trucking it across the state to Burlington, and then to amplify the problem with the disposal of this material, July 1st, when they implement this law, the district, the MRF down there has doubled their rates on what they charge haulers to accept this material.
So this is going to cost you more money one way or another, you figure?
It's going to cost the consumer more money. And, you know, I sat in a lot of testimony on the House Natural Resources Committee this year, and Tom Moreau, the district manager in Chittenden, testified to the fact that it's going to cost the most in the Northeast Kingdom to capture the least amount of material. You know, we had a system in place that was working well. I believe our district has like 36 towns, and they're at about 1.6 pounds per person per day of trash that we're generating up here. The state's goal was to get everybody at 2.69 pounds per person per day. And so, you know, we felt we were doing really well, and Paul Tomasi has done a good job setting the district up here and setting the facilities up in places where residents can easily get to them. You know, the difference between an area like this and Chittenden is it's dense populated in the Chittenden area. They have an economy of scale. They have a lot of commercial business. They generate a lot of material. So it's easily run in an area like that. But, you know, we could travel miles between houses. You know, I agree we need to do more recycling. There needs to be more education. It needs to be, like Josh was talking about, more convenient. This law actually seeks to make it more convenient in the Northeast Kingdom to have recyclables picked up than it is to get gas or buy groceries in this area. know, we drive miles for them things, and you know, we're mandated to provide this curbside. And we are compliant. We are working on trying to set our customers up. There's just a lot of confusion right now.
Well, Pat, let me just ask you one question before we let you go, and then I'll have Josh Kelly respond to some of the things that you've been talking about. But one of the deals in this law is that trash haulers can't charge separately for recycling. So you can't add more cost that's sort of broken out as part of the recycling bill for consumers. But it's all combined into one. You could probably charge more for your hauling services in general to help recover or recoup some of those costs that you were talking about. So how much are your customers going to be seeing their rates go up?
It depends on the service level and the location. The rural areas will probably going to have to pay a little bit more for the service for us to get there. But I'd like to clarify something that has been coming out, you know, just like what you said, that we're not allowed, we can't charge more for this service. And that's absolutely wrong. I'm sure Josh will back me up on this. We can charge for the recycling service. We cannot itemize it on our bill, which is something that a lot of the testimony and the push that was going on in the State House this year was to remove that requirement, to let the haulers be transparent with their customers. They know there's a cost for it. They know that you know that it's an added service. But so we're forced to lump it in with the cost of the trash, which then increases that line item. But there is definitely a cost for it. That's one of the big misconceptions that we get. People calling us a lot saying, well, how are you going to do this for free to Burlington? Well, we're not.
No, right.
There's not a hauler in the state that's going to. And it's just, it's tough for them not to understand the way things work in a really, really rural area. You know, I mean...
Yeah, and Pat, I hear you, especially in the Northeast Kingdom, what you said earlier about that density that Burlington might have when you don't in your area. And I want to thank you for being on the show and illuminating some of the issues in your area, as well as some of the issues that trash haulers are feeling. That's Pat Austin, owner of Austin's Rubbish and Roll-Off Service in West Charleston. Pat, thanks.
Thank you very much.
So, Josh Kelly, what about Pat had a lot of concerns about this bill. He said at one point, you know, more recycling is a good thing, but he's seeing a lot of costs being incurred on him and other trash haulers and then passed along to the people that he services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let me first just pay my respects to the haulers in listening and in the state of Vermont. I think what every resident needs to realize and every business needs to realize is that hauling trash, solid waste, materials of any kind is typically one where people don't want to pay. They want to pay the cheapest price possible. So it's a really tough business to be in, not to mention battling Vermont's weather and trying to haul on all seasons of the year. So my hat is off to Pat and those haulers who are engaging and doing this tough work. And it is not free. The cost to collect any materials and haul them places needs to be passed on to the customer. And Pat's right that the message kind of got out there in the wrong way. And so the haulers have been dealing with a lot of questions from businesses, the public, about you know what the charge, what they can be charged. But the fact of the matter is they can charge for those services. They just need to bundle them with the trash cost. And there are costs to the recycling industry. But those costs primarily are at or below the cost of landfilling right now in Vermont. So that's the good news, that it should be cheaper, and it is in most areas. The Northeast Kingdom has done a really good job in providing these sort of drop-off locations for recycling, and that has been helpful to their residents. But it doesn't answer the convenience question for everybody at the curb. And so Pat's right that ironically you have to drive further to get gas than you do to get trash collected or recycling collected. But what the legislature was trying to get at was that if you could dispose of trash wherever you were doing that, you would be able to recycle. So at the curb, if you could get rid of your trash easily, you should be able to get rid of your recycling just as easily. And that's the kind of level playing field that was intended here. And the haulers are doing a really tough job right now, sort of helping those people that really haven't had the service or been really engaged with recycling get engaged. And so the state's trying to do more. And part of our public media campaign we did last week and are working on right now is a recycling resimplified kind of media campaign to get the word out. But we are definitely scrambling to get that out soon.
We're talking today about recycling. Everybody in Vermont is now required to recycle as of this coming Wednesday. And we're answering some questions that you might have about what that means for your own personal situation. We've been talking a little bit about what it means for trash haulers and what people who use trash haulers might be able to expect. But let's get back to some of your questions. Marianne, I promised you that you, if you waited on the line, we would answer your questions. So here is Marianne in Wilmington. Hi, Marianne. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm a longtime composter, both in my garden and vegetable material out of my kitchen. But I'm concerned, looking forward, I've been reading that we will be expected to also compost other kinds of garbage and meat scraps and that sort of thing. And we have a real problem with bears coming right into our village and certainly have been in my yard. And I have really worked hard not to put meat scraps or anything that can attract critters. So how are they looking at that going forward?
Marianne, thanks for your call. Yeah, mandatory composting goes into effect for individuals, for small composters in 2020. So, Michelle Morris, what about that idea of if you have a trash hauler in 2020, that trash hauler will be able to pick up your trash, your recycling, and then your compost. So if you're putting that down at the bottom of your driveway, what do you do about bears and other critters?
Well, I think Marianne is talking about something else, actually, in her backyard. And just to
like her compost pile.
Yeah, exactly. And as we mentioned earlier with another caller, you don't have to put that meat and bones. That's not part of the law. So those materials are exempt from the law. And if you're putting those in the trash, you can continue to put those in the trash. And if you have somewhere that will accept them, then by all means, you can take those. So, you know, those issues are recognized. And another thing to point out is, as I'm working with people throughout Chittenden County, including in our rural areas, is this is not new stuff that you're generating. You know, if you're already putting it in your trash, you're just taking it from one container into a different container. So if you're continuing to manage it responsibly and you're not having problems with those critters, then you shouldn't just because you're putting it in a different container. And then I would just want to clarify that actually in 2017 is when the hauling companies are going to be required to offer compostables pickup. Mm. So, you know, people can do it now in their backyards, but by 2017 is when that curbside offering comes online and then mandatory composting or diversion, we like to say, of food scraps in 2020 for residents.
And this isn't, you know, we'll have more time over the next couple of years to talk about composting.
Absolutely.
But for people who are worried about the smell of that in their own homes, one of the things that we often get recommendations for is shove it in your freezer, freeze the stuff until you're ready to take it to your district or out to your trash hauler.
Yeah, and you'll be seeing lots of things, areas offering workshops for how to do this in your backyard and offering subsidized, reduced costs for backyard compost bins and things like that. Lots of tools and education. And as Josh mentioned, their focus is really on education and outreach right now and not on the whole enforcement thing. Though, you know, we are doing enforcement where needed in Chittenden County and in some of the other larger districts that have had this mandate online for a long time.
All right. So we've got a lot of people who still have questions.
Sure.
And in the interest of answering their questions, if you guys don't mind sticking around, we're going to keep going with this topic for a little while longer. And we'll talk about the Windsor School Supervisory Union merger tomorrow on the show, because so many of you wondering about what to do about these recycling questions that you have, we'd love for Michelle Morris and Josh Kelly to keep answering them. So give us your calls. Give us your questions. Post them on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net or call 1-800-639-2211. You're listening to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm, and I'm here today with Josh Kelly from the Agency of Natural Resources and Michelle Morris with the Chittenden Solid Waste District. They're answering all kinds of questions about recycling and compost and trash as we move forward into a new era in Vermont, mandatory recycling starting on Wednesday, July 1st. As Michelle has pointed out, this has already been in effect in some parts of Vermont, like Chittenden County, for a long time. But for others of you, it hasn't been mandatory. Perhaps you haven't been thinking much about it, and maybe you have some questions about what you can recycle and what you can't, how to do this, how it's going to work in your town or with your system, or maybe in the places that you like to go to in Vermont. So if you have a question, you can call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post your comments on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Stephen's been waiting on the line for a while in Stratford. Hi, Stephen. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, this is an unfunded mandate. It's going to cost the town of Stratford over $10,000, and we already recycle over 70%. I think we're one of the highest recycling towns in Vermont. And the second thing is, why doesn't Vermont have a factory that recycles this stuff, that really produces a material from it? It would produce jobs, and it would make it so that we could get rid of stuff closer by.
Stephen, before we give your question to Josh Kelly, if Stratford already recycles something like 70%, why is the cost of this worrisome to you?
Well, first of all, we might lose some of our haulers. We have some local haulers, and the price has gone up so much now for hauling trash. It's amazing. We have to get a compactor to compact our plastics and stuff, because basically we're hauling air.
All right. So, Josh Kelly, what do you think about Stephen's concerns?
It's difficult to dig into because I don't know all the details in Stratford. But I can say that I do know towns that don't have curbside recycling and have a very low recycling rate as a result, or a modest one, maybe a 30% recycling rate as a result of everybody getting trash service weekly, but no recycling. And yes, they had a location they could drive the recyclables to, but as some of the residents who talked to me about the changes to the law told me, you know, I really wish someone would start a business hauling that stuff. And ironically, that's how we sort of got to this stage of, oh, that is what the law intends. At this time, there are some increased costs in the recycling markets. The markets are down, and so they're not offsetting the costs as much as they have in the past. And that's unfortunate, and that may be part of what Stratford's experiencing, or maybe this compactor comes with a large rental charge that I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out CSWD owns one of these two single-stream facilities in the state, which is interesting that Pat Austin pointed out there are only two recycling facilities, but that's actually double the number of landfills we have. So
two recycling facilities that offer single stream.
That's correct.
And then there are two more that offer dual stream or multi-stream.
That's right. And yet we have just one landfill. So if you're in southern Vermont, unless you're taking your trash out of state, you're going all the way up to Newport with your trash. Just to keep things in perspective there. And
so Stephen also wondered why we don't have like a place in Vermont where we are actually taking that recyclable material and turning it into a saleable product.
Well, you're not talking about one material. You know, as Josh mentioned, it's the major items, the paper. But within paper, you've got newsprint, you've got office paper, you've got cardboard, you've got boxboard. All of these things are bought by different markets and they're global markets. And then they are further processed. We used to be sending our newsprint to Canada and that facility closed. And so now we have to find a new market. If it were simple and there were just one stream and there were huge opportunities locally, then certainly you would see people jumping at that. But, you know, we made this investment back in 93, and in fact, it's worked so well that in some cases we've paid per ton for recyclables. You know, it's been mentioned that the fee is going up, and in fact, it's still going to be lower than it was from 1996 to 2005.
Josh Kelly, you raised a finger.
Yeah, I have one other response to that question and of why we don't have a manufacturing place here for recyclables. And the answer is really scale, economies of scale. So we lack the economies of scale to have a lot of material, and the competition is global. So these industries are, you know, subject to global competitive market forces. But that doesn't mean that we don't use recyclable products in Vermont. And so we just had Burton. The company Burton out at our media event talking about what they do with the recyclable products that they require in their own apparel. So fleece vests are made out of bottles, soda bottles. So they're being used in Vermont companies. It may just not be that they're actually being manufactured here.
I want to read a couple of notes that we got from people who are frustrated or angry. One of them is Brian in Newport, who says, "While I have recycled the standard items for years, I'm curious about enforcement and penalties if not followed. I rent and trash is thrown into the building dumpster, and unless they do DNA testing, there won't be any indication of who the trash belongs to." Michael says, "I will not comply with this law. law and will work to circumvent it whenever and wherever I can. Compliance will come when I start getting paid both for my time in sorting and per pound for the glass and plastic resources that I will otherwise throw away. I only generate half a bag of trash per month on average, and for me, this law is more trouble than it's worth. And Dom says, why should I recycle? I'm not the one making the products that use packaging that's not reusable. Don't tell me to shop wisely. We need to tax corporations for the problems they create to pay for this, not the consumer who already purchased the product with hard-earned cash and then has to pay to get rid of it. All right, Michelle, you get the last word here. What about the naysayers?
Wow. Thank you, and thanks a lot, Jane. These are all legitimate questions, and there are systems in place. There are some programs. E-waste was mentioned earlier. That's called product stewardship. So producers are being taxed, and they are being charged so that things are more recyclable and less disposable. So there's a lot of stuff happening in that regard. Certainly, we don't encourage anybody to circumvent. We want to work with them. We want to make it easier for everyone. That's the intent of the law. We know there are challenges in place. And so work with us and let's try to make it easier. Renting and landlords is a particularly sticky issue. I'm extremely familiar with that in Chittenden County. And, you know, we want to put the burden and the onus on the generator. And no, we're not going to do DNA testing. And no, I'm not going to be ripping every bag open. But there are things that can be done. And we encourage you to reach out to your local districts and folks to help you make it work.
And we'll put more resources up at vpr.net for those of you still curious or who didn't get your questions answered. We've been talking today with Michelle Morris, the Business Outreach Director at Chittenden Solid Waste District, and Josh Kelly, Materials Management Section Chief at the Vermont Agency of Natural Resources. Thanks very much to both of you.
Thank you, Jane.
Good to be here.
Music means it's time for Summer School, our weekly seasonal series introducing you to new skills and ideas. If you're a parent, the thought of talking to your kids about sex might strike fear into your heart. But author and sex educator Cindy Pierce says you should be having these conversations by the time your kids are in first grade. This week in Summer School, Pierce gives a lesson in talking about the birds and the bees. And this may go without saying, but the next few minutes of radio will include some anatomical language. We are working on getting it up for you right now. If not, poor Josh Kelly and Michelle Morris are going to have to answer the questions about how to talk to your kids about sex. No, I'm just kidding. But we do have them here to talk about recycling as we see if we can get that audio to play for our summer school. And if not, we'll bring you that tomorrow, too. All right. So we do have actually some more questions about recycling that people are curious about. Chuck wants to know why companies are still allowed even to use unmarked or non-recyclable packaging. Michelle Morris, do you have a sense of that?
Well, it's global. We can't control what companies do. And the Environmental Protection Agency and the Federal Trade Commission both would have a hand in that. And the Federal Trade Commission actually has something called the Green Guides, and it's how companies are allowed to market their materials. So there are some things being done now around how messaging is done and markings are done on packaging.
And I would just add that this change takes time. And, you know, our e-cycles program, Vermont was not the first, but we have there's many states that have electronics recycling programs, and there's a constant move in the sustainable materials management field to look deeper at what we're wasting and how we can not waste that material. And product stewardship, basically tasking those that produce these products with the responsibility for their end of life care, is the future. But it takes time to get there. And so packaging is a real frustration for us all. You know, whenever we get that styrofoam, we don't know what to do with it. Don't send it in your recycling bin. That's the answer today. Mm. So it's an evolving field, and the state's working on that and constantly looking at legislation in other states too.
Michelle?
Yeah, and I'd just like to add that, you know, we're looking at waste disposal, which is a tiny slice in a package's life. So when you look at things like Tetra Paks and those little foil pouches that everything's coming in from laundry detergent to baby food. they're a nightmare for us on the disposal end, just because they're many, many layers, and it's hard to market them and sell them, and we don't have markets, so please don't put them in your bin. But from a packager's perspective and a shipper's perspective, they're wonderful, because you can pack a ton of them on a container ship or a truck or a train, and they're very lightweight, and they form to different shapes, and so you're not spending money and diesel fuel and resources shipping containers around the country and the world. You're shipping your product.
So, Josh Kelly, I, at the risk of thinking that you scuppered that audio for us, because I know you wanted to get to this, I'm going to ask you the question that you were hoping we'd get. And, you know, the big question here in 30 seconds, why does it matter whether we recycle or throw things in the landfill?
Sure. Thanks. The legislature was looking at Vermont's recycling rate, which had stagnated to 30 to 36% for over a decade. And so we had stalled. The progress we made in the 90s towards recycling had been achieved. The early adopters had gotten on board. And so with the benefits to recycling, an aluminum can, the energy savings of recycling an aluminum can is about 90% energy savings. Most of the cans in your hand are 60 days ago were cans themselves. And so that's the goal here, is to get the benefits out of it, environmental and jobs that come with that.
All right. So once again, that's Josh Kelly with the Agency of Natural Resources and Michelle Morris with Chittenden Solid Waste District. Thanks for filling in. We appreciate your time here today. And tomorrow on the program, Vermont's Fish and Wildlife Department has been working for nearly 3 years on a new comprehensive deer management plan. Why is it so complicated? Well, sometimes hunters want one thing, biologists want another, and others yet want a third plan. Tomorrow on Vermont Edition, we'll talk with Lewis Porter, head of Fish and Wildlife, and Wildlife Director Mark Scott about the new plan. And you can send your questions about deer management to vermontedition@vpr.net. Today's program was produced by Aaron Lucy. Vermont Edition's production team is Patty Daniels, Rick Singeri, and Sam Gail Rosen. Liam Connors directed the show. Our executive producer is John Van Hoosen. And our theme music was composed by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.